Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
Today, I want to talk about communication. So a lot of times people, you know, when they go to a therapy session and the therapist tries to teach them better communication skills, that doesn't really work. And I also know that because when people come to me, they would often say, or often do say, we need to be able to communicate better. We need to learn to communicate better. Teach us how to communicate better. But here's the problem. Communication is almost never the central issue. But that does not mean it's not an issue, though. Now, let me tell you why it's not the central issue, which is key. Communication is simply a way of moving information from one person to another. Think about it as a pipe, a conduit to move communication from one person to the other, from you to your spouse. You can communicate with anyone in lots of different ways, you know, in the world. And so better communication skills means that you're able to move the information better. But it doesn't change the information you are moving. It doesn't change the message. So a lot of times people learn to communicate better, and all they're really learning to do is fight better, because that's their method of communicating. Or that's where they are right now in their marriage. They're doing a great job of moving information from one side to the other. It's the problem with the information that they're moving. So if you're moving hurt and anger all of the time, if you learn some communication skills, you'll simply get better at moving, you know, more anger and hurt. So communication is definitely not the central issue, but it can still be an issue. So my biggest concern is that when we boil it down, everything down to communication, it oversimplifies the issue when it's actually another simple issue, but it oversimplifies it to just communication. It boils it down to that rather than seeing communication as partly a symptom of a bigger issue, in fact, probably the most important issue, which is a lack of connection or disconnection. When the connection is in trouble, the communication is going to be in trouble. And the communication that comes through that connection is going to be dangerous. It's going to be hurtful. It's going to be painful. And so the question is how we both address the communication issue and the connection issue as well. If you really want to watch a powerful couple, a couple that has really mastered, you know, this we, you'll notice that they are very much in connection with each other, and hence their communication is also very, very good. So let me be very clear. I'm not suggesting that you don't ever have to communicate with your spouse and you can have a great we. I'm not suggesting you can never communicate with your spouse and still have a strong connection. But I also want you to be aware that a lot of that place of which happens internally and then comes through your communication is shared with your spouse. That said, we want to figure out is how to best pass that information from one person to the other, how we, you know, can express our view and understand the other person's view of the world. In other words, how we talk about the paradigm. A paradigm is the way we understand the world, the way we each of us might see the world. And the problem is that each of you have a different paradigm. You have a different paradigm than your spouse. And so communication is a way of helping you understand how the person is seeing it from their perspective, how they're viewing the world, how they're viewing not just the world, but the situation between the two of you. Let's say that you have some point of miscommunication. If all you keep doing is continuing to express the miscommunication, rather than stepping behind and asking, how are you seeing that? How am I seeing that? And you're going to stay stuck in miscommunication if you don't do that. So what we're trying to figure out is how to take the method or conduit of connection and make it better. Communication can help or hinder the connection, but the connection is still the central issue. The way you view the other person's viewpoint is part of that issue. You may have noticed that when you feel a connection with somebody, you're more able to listen to their view of the world. You know, the other day on TV, I watched the fallout of some campaign issue between two people, and one person had hit another person during a campaign rally. And part of why they had that occurrence is because they weren't connected at all. And what do I mean by that? They weren't trying to understand where the other person was coming from. They were just pushing their point of view of the world, or as it pertained to the campaign of the campaign issues, onto the other person. And then you fast forward to the scenes in the courthouse where this person is being finally having to take responsibility for that action of hitting somebody, but finds forgiveness from the other person in a moment of connection. And so what's my point? My point is that when we feel connection to someone, we are much more willing to listen to how they view the world. We're much more able to communicate with them appropriately. If you think about all that, you know, there are 7 billion or more people in the world. There are a lot of people that you don't even care to hear their viewpoint about. In fact, you don't even think about their viewpoint. And then there are some people who you would refuse to listen to their viewpoint. And you'll probably notice that there's not much connection in either of those two cases. Then I want you to think about your friends and draw that as a closer group, and you might want to listen to your friends. You might not always agree with them, but you might want to listen to them. Now bring it a little closer to your family, where you might need to listen in order to move forward. Now let's bring it even closer to your spouse, where it is absolutely necessary for the two of you to be able to talk about your worldviews, your paradigms, your way of viewing a situation so that you can make a decision. Part of where we see the we working is where the couple is saying, what's best for us? And the only way to arrive at a place of understanding, it's what's best for us, is understanding the viewpoints of each other. That's what strengthens it. One of the mistakes people make in building the we is assuming we have to see everything alike, equally. And that's not necessary. We have to understand how each other views the world. That is necessary. So today I want to just talk about these 3 simple rules of communication that can help you kind of unravel stuck patterns in your communications, patterns, dynamics that have hurt your connection. These are 3 rules. They're not the only 3 rules. These are pieces of the puzzle that I want you just kind of think through and see how they fit for you in your current situation, and see them as rules to help make the communication a better pipeline, a better conduit. You know, how to make the process of moving one worldview to the other person so that they understand it, that they hear it, not so that they have to accept it, but understand it. So let's talk about these rules one by one. Rule number 1 is seek to understand. Now, I know this might sound obvious. If you're trying to communicate with somebody, you're probably trying to understand. But what I've noticed in practice is we don't often actually seek to understand. We do something else. So let's talk about some ways that gets us into trouble. First, let's talk about what it means to seek to understand. Seeking to understand the other person's viewpoint does not mean you're seeking to agree with them. And this is very, very important, right? I can understand how somebody sees the world. I can understand how their viewpoint came to be based on their history, based on their assumptions, based on their beliefs, based on how they kind of begin the questions. That doesn't mean I agree with it. Now, if you've traveled much, you recognize the other places see things differently. Other cultures see things differently. And your task is not to be, you know, change the paradigm for them or change your paradigm or change paradigm to paradigm. You don't have to go somewhere and assume somebody else's paradigm. You don't have to agree with how they see the world to understand why they see it that way and how they see it. Those are the two questions, how and why somebody sees the world the way they do. It's true in many different ways that we can kind of cross over into closer ways of viewing the world, but nobody sees the world exactly alike. If you were to go to Spain, they're going to see things differently than they do in India, than they do in Argentina, than they do in some place in Africa, you know, than they do in New York City, which is different than Los Angeles, which is going to be different than Miami, which is going to be different than Houston. So it becomes a nice research project to see if you can understand other people's view, particularly a spouse's viewpoint. So seek to understand, not necessarily agree, but to understand. Understand what they see, how they see the world, and why they would see it that way, which is different than what lots of people do, which is to use communication as a process of trying to convince somebody to say it their way. Have you ever had that experience where you're in a conversation with somebody and each of you are only trying to convince the other person that you're right? Usually you're only listening so you can formulate your own arguments to refute whatever they're telling you. You're not listening to really understand. And usually not much shifts in that because neither one is listening for the sake of understanding. They're seeking to convince the other person. In reality, they're not even listening much. They're seeking to convince. Oftentimes in the midst of communication, all we're doing is really waiting for our chance to respond. Now think about that for a minute. Two people just waiting their turn to respond. Is anything going to really shift? Is communication really happening? Is connection really happening? You know, I used to have a group of teenagers a while back, young teenagers. And what I noticed is sometimes it was as if neither were at the same conversation. They would be talking at each other or over each other, but not with each other. And we kept having to walk them back a little bit and begin to ask questions about what the other person was saying. And then they would realize that they hadn't listened at all. It was as if two different conversations were happening, but only half the conversation was in the room at any one time. So when we seek to understand, we're not trying to convince the other person. We're not trying to wait for our chance to respond or to refute. And more importantly, we're not there to defend. We have this viewpoint in our culture that there is only room for my viewpoint. I'm the one who gets to carry the day. My viewpoint is the right one. And that's wrong. Rather than seeing that there are lots of ways of seeing the world, and all of them likely bring something to the table, different viewpoints. You know, one of the things that I valued most when I got my Master's of Business Administration, my MBA from Northwestern University, was that their format was to bring in a diverse set of students. You know, you had investment bankers, you had entrepreneurs, you had professional tennis players, you had ex-Marines, you had nonprofit leaders, among many other, you know, people from all walks of life, all different parts of the world. And we would have case studies and we would do it as a group. We would analyze the case studies as a group. And you can imagine that every single one of us would look at the problem in that case study differently than the other people based on our backgrounds. The professional tennis player was seeing it from a different angle than the Marine or myself who came from an entrepreneurial background or the investment banker or someone from a nonprofit world. And instead of us trying to force our opinion, you know, amongst each other, we listened to each other's different perspectives and grew. And that's what made, you know, that experience so enriching, is that I got to see the same problem analyzed through 7, 8, 9, 10 different points of view, which only opened up my horizons to make me understand that there's very different ways of addressing the same problems. And none of them are better or worse, they're just different. And that gives me an arsenal of options to apply that in the future as I go on through life. And that has made me such a more diverse and open person as a result of that enriching experience, that I'm able to see and look at the same problem and hear it from multiple different paradigms, points of view. We have to realize that we're seeing things from a paradigm. And if we're able to accept others, people's point of views, we grow, we are enriched. But if we are closed off to them, then there's going to be self-tunnel vision and lack of communication and hence cooperation. And the ones that are losing out are the people that have that closed mindset, because they're not able to see things from another point of view. And that's the paradigm problem. And the paradigm problem is one of the central issues in a marriage, because we forget that there is a paradigm. There are spouses have different paradigms than us. We forget that you and I are going to naturally see some things different, even subtly different, right? But different. And the danger is assuming that I've got it all right, because that assumes that yours is wrong. That assumes that your spouse's is wrong. So when we have a disagreement, I'm trying to get you to see it the right way, rather than realizing that what I really have is a task for us to understand each other's perspectives. See, that changes communications right off the bat. So ask to understand instead of defending your position, instead of trying to convince, instead of trying to wait for your response. Ask to understand and then check to see if you understand. Think how that communication might be different. If you sit with somebody where there's a disagreement and simply said, "Can you help me understand how you see it this way?" I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't understand it. So can you help me understand how you see it? Tell me where you start with this. Tell me how you can kind of pull together your evidence. Now remember, this isn't about tricking them. This isn't about using that evidence or that information to attack them. This is not a debate class. And that's what I often notice with couples, is they end up in a debate pattern. The other person gives you a little bit of information, and instead of using that to understand them, you use that to refute them, to attack them. That's great in debate class. It gets great in court. It's not so great in a relationship. Seeking to understand is truly saying, "Help me understand how you see it that way." And then to repeat back and check to say, "Did I understand that correctly?" Isn't that a big difference between how many communication patterns happen? Think about it in other parts of your life, you know, in a sales process. Usually the salesperson is trying to help you see that your way of seeing the world is actually wrong and theirs is right, and that's why you want their product, or that's why they're trying to sell you their product. It's true in politics. It's true in so many other different areas. So rule number one is seek to understand as your basic rule of communication. Now rule number two, focus on the perspective of the other person. So okay, now you're seeking to understand where this person's coming from. And then the next step is to focus on that perspective so that you have a deeper understanding of them and empathy. Now we understand empathy in our country as something kind of like sympathy. You know, you feel bad for someone. You understand where they're coming from, but you feel bad. But empathy is something else. An empathetic understanding of your spouse means that you understand where they're coming from. In good times and bad times, you have an empathetic or as some other cultures have called it, simpatico, where, you know, we're kind of in sync with each other because I understand where you're coming from. I can see things from your point of view because I am walking in your shoes. It's not about agreement. You don't have to agree. It's about understanding where they're coming from. So you have an empathetic understanding of your spouse when you focus on their perspective. When you focus on turning their perspective, it's not empathy. That's manipulation. That's trying to convince the other person to move him or her to your side. So rule number two is to focus on their perspective as a way of moving into empathy. Notice there's nothing about this about you trying to convince or change their viewpoint. It's about understanding their perspective and therefore understanding them at a deeper level. This is where we're moving deeper into the connection because it's no longer about convincing. It truly is a deeper level of connection. Now, rule number three, admit any difficulty in understanding or explaining. This is basically saying there's no perfect communication. If there was, we would be able to get rid of so many problems in the world. But because we're blind to our own paradigm, we often get lost in the process. So admit any difficulties in understanding or explaining. Recognize that you might be imperfect in letting somebody see how you see the world, how you see things, and that you may be imperfect in understanding how they see things and assuming that you get it. And it's the ultimate communication killer because it's based on assumptions if you don't do it right. And when you assume something, you're probably going to get it wrong. And so when we are in the process of making assumptions, rather than checking them out, we get into trouble. So admit the difficulties that you have. Those assumptions are preconceived. That means you're not listening. That means you're not trying to understand. And when you admit the difficulties you have because of your assumptions, because of your paradigm, you also allow the other person to see they might have some difficulties as well. Because none of us are perfect communicators. In fact, our lifelong task is to get better at communication. And I truly believe that a big piece of getting better at it is recognizing that we don't see things exactly true. We don't see things exactly like somebody else. Even a spouse might see them. Even though somebody might be with us for years and years, decades, standing right beside us, viewing the same things, we still see it from a slightly different perspective. That paradigm is based on all kinds of past histories and experiences and beliefs that only each person has individually that is unique to them. So that viewpoint is something you can continue to step into. Communication is not a new process. It happens all the time. You do it piece by piece. You recover it piece by piece. You work on a piece by piece as you continue moving towards something more, which is understanding of each other's viewpoint. Never assume you've understood their viewpoint. Just understand you're understanding more of their viewpoint. So rule number one, seek always to understand. Rule number two, focus on that perspective of the other person. And rule number three, admit any difficulties you have so you can actually look at them from a different perspective and don't fall into the assumption trap. Now, if you do this, it's not going to be the central piece of the relationship because we know connection is. But communication and doing communication correctly is actually a catalyst to a better connection. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. 3, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And 4, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.